The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
He had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are discussing what was an embarrassment at Soldier Field yesterday and the ramifications of that embarrassment. Will there be any changes made? We are discussing that on Spiegel and Holmes. We are live at Stadium Swim at Circa Casino and Resort. It has been an incredible host site for us over the last few days, and we highly recommend that you find a way to get out here and be a part of what it is that they got going on.
Guess what? Tonight, right? This very evening, if you're in Chicagoland, you could head out to New Buffalo, Michigan to see Dave Wanstead and Mark Grody, our guy, at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. The event's free to the public, starts at 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central. Wani and Grody will be there. Wani be given a mid-season review. Oh, boy. And forecast the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph and a photo with Coach Wanstead before the Monday night game. I want an autograph and a photo with Mark Grody, but that's just me.
This segment with Groats, by the way, we're not done.
We're not done, Mark.
We're not done, sir.
Sorry.
Settle down.
We're not done, sir.
Get comfortable, sir.
We have to pay for you.
I said good day.
Yes. This segment with Mark Grody is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. And this segment with Mark Grody, who's the best, is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Sir, the floor is yours.
I have arrived here at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. I am in my hotel room right now. And you know a place has great customer service, or at least I do, because I've been called honey three times already since walking in here. Because I had the wrong
And that was just... That was just Wani, right? I was just Wani calling you honey?
Oh, yeah, Grody, honey. Yeah, that doesn't sound like something natural coming out of his mouth. Hey, what's up, hon?
It's not a good fit.
But no, I went to the wrong desk to check into my hotel, and the lady looked at me as sympathetically as possible and said, oh, no, honey, here's where you want to go. You want to go right down here and then turn left. I don't know what it is. I think I looked lost. I looked like a sympathetic character. I probably looked out of place, too, with all my luggage and furious look that I have going on while everybody else is wearing comfortable pants so they can gamble here at Four Winds Casino.
I think she knew you were a Bears reporter.
Bears.
That's what I think. I think she knew you were a Bears reporter.
Too.
And she knew that you are in a miserable spot like the rest of the Bears universe.
Oh, man, that was just stunning yesterday. That's the word I keep trying to impose on everybody. I use that. I asked Matt Eberflus today if he was stunned. Nobody's really biting on my adjective except for a little bit DJ Moore. He didn't shoot down the idea that it was stunning, but that's what it was. It's exactly what it was yesterday. I was numb watching it. I'm like, you see, like, because to me, yesterday was the worst case scenario. And I've been talking about the trifecta of team, the trilogy of games, you know, of these losses. The Washington game, I was like, okay, this is bad. It's horrible. players are saying bad things, but I wasn't ready to say the locker room is lost. Then along comes Arizona. Terrible, worst-case scenario type of loss again as you get blown out on the road. And then this game was just that was a dead team that we watched on Sunday. Inexplicable and stunning is what it was. I will say this from – and I'm going to get to the audio here in a second. I will say this, that going through the locker room yesterday – and being at the podium with Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, you know, I was over, you know, every single part of Soldier Field yesterday and getting reaction from people. I think here's the good news is I know Matt Eberflus has been pretty ambiguous about change so far, and we'll get to it here in a second, but the players know change is coming. They were pretty reserved yesterday relative to what they had been in the past couple of weeks. And even when we were asking questions about the coaches, I know Kevin Byard, you know, he was a little bit like, I don't want to talk about it. So he did not give an endorsement to the coaches. But for the most part, these players have to know at this point that there is going to be change on the offensive staff, or else I think that they probably would have been a little bit more pointed yesterday. All of that said, let's get to the head coach of the Chicago Bears and everything that he said today. Put together one long cut from Matt Eberflus about everything he said today in regards to potential solutions and potential change at Halas Hall. Here's Matt Eberflus.
There will be changes, adjustments being made. Again, I'm not going to disclose those right now. I'm not at that point in the process. Monday's a long day, you know, in terms of the evaluation of everything, you know, in terms of, lineups, in terms of the, you know, coaching, in terms of how we need to do better, you know, in that coaching and how we need to do better in a communication in game, during the game, after the game, prior to the game. So it's important that we take time to make those decisions and make the right decisions that's for the Bears.
When it comes to changes and adjustments, what all is under consideration here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just, in-game communication, you know, in terms of that, it's got to be better. The adjustments, the tactical adjustments need to be better, with that on all sides. And everything's on the table. And it's important that we look at everything and we take the time to get that done.
What is the process and the timeline for you of getting to the end of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be fairly quick. I just think that right now it's to come out here less than 24 hours and make, you know, all those changes or the changes that you want to make and state, you know, when I have those answers, I'll get them to you. And I'm just not at that point right now.
Matt, are you going to make a change at quarterback?
No, Caleb is our starter.
Will Shane remain on the staff this week?
Like I said, you know, the process of that, we're going through that right now. And all those adjustments and changes and things that we're going to do, we're still in the evaluation phase of that.
Yeah, well, the offensive captains on this team have a say in a potential change at play caller, if there was to be.
Yeah, I talked to the guys about everything. You know, I talked to them about, in terms of, the temperature of the team, how the guys are doing chemistry-wise, how the relationships are between each guy. I don't visit with players about play callers and all that stuff. That's for the coaches.
As you evaluate your options with the offensive play caller, aside from three high point totals against bad defenses, what is the case for continuing on with Shane at this point?
Well, it's, again, we're in the evaluation phase of that, and it's important that we're using all the people in the building, on the coaching staff, getting all the input, you know, and putting our minds together to come up with the best answer. And that's where we are right now, and again, we got to look at that this afternoon as well.
Yeah, Matt, is this decision yours and yours alone, or does it come in consultation?
It's my decision, mine alone, yes, sir.
Matt, what's Ryan Poles' involvement in this decision, and does he have to clear whatever you do?
Yeah, I'm in constant communication with Ryan Poles, as he is with me. We'll work together. But again, it's ultimately my decision.
There's a lot there. And I understand that there's a lot of things you have to do. Who's going to be the play caller? Who's going to be talking to the quarterback during the game because they've been allowing Shane to talk to him? And that hasn't gone well. So I wonder if the in-game communication that he referenced there was about how you're going to be transmitting stuff to the quarterback. That's one thing.
Maybe your offensive coordinator goes into the box so that he can't be laughing on the sidelines while the quarterback is going through
right.
hell.
Right, and maybe you don't know yet. You should, but you don't know yet if your offensive coordinator is going to say, you know what, I'll just step away. Can I just do that? Can I just get out of here? If you're going to demote me, that's too big a shot to my ego. Right, there's a lot of factors that could be going on in the delay, but it all strikes me as something they could have been thinking about like as a possibility all week because it should have been, and then be ready to make your move when it's that bad, Mark.
Guys, I think that if you are saying that your play caller was not good enough to last, what are we, 9 games into the season, so he's not good enough for the first 10 games of the season, I'm sorry. You can't, because it sounds nice, like demote him and let him be like, as I was saying to some people at Hallis Hall today, be like the Mark Helfrich. You guys remember Mark Helfrich? He was the helpless offensive coordinator with the Bears.
The offensive analyst.
Yeah. And he was an interesting guy, you know, like really smart dude. He seemed to speak more freely than everybody else did, but he was the offensive coordinator who didn't call plays. So we always were trying to figure out exactly what it is you do around here. Bill Lazor was exactly the same until Matt Eberflus said, you know what, I got to do this now. Everybody wants me to do this, so I got to give you the play calling now. So it was the same thing. Now, they could do that if they want to do that with Shane Waldron and be like, okay, you're our offensive coordinator, but you're not going to call plays. This is a guy, unfortunately for him, that has apparently been tuned out by players. So why do you want – you don't need his voice in that room at all. It sounds to me like his voice has done damage to this team because he hasn't used it properly, and the players were telling you that after the Indianapolis game when they were saying, we need him to say more, speak more. So it feels like, look, if you're going to make a change, don't do this. We're going to demote him. He's going to be our offensive coordinator. Get him out of the building. And that sounds heartless, but that's what has to happen. He has actively hurt this team, and his voice is not being heard. So let's not even do something ceremonial at this point. If you're going to do it, do it. Do not half-ass this thing like the Bears have done for too many years.
I agree with you, Grode said. No half measures here. Go do something about it. What do the players have to say?
Yeah, let's start with DeAndre Swift and a little bit of background on Swift. Swift is a guy who does not talk much. He has been very polite in his ways of often when you go to his locker, he is not really wanting to talk. And I think a lot of it has to do with how poorly things have been going. And when he does talk, he's soft-spoken, but listen very carefully to what he's saying, because the words that he's about to use here I thought were pretty poignant from DeAndre Swift upon reviewing the film from this 19-3 loss to the Patriots.
I know in the heat of the moment, it's not always easy to see what's going on. But afterwards, as you're looking at video and stuff, are you seeing missed blocks, missed tackles, no opening? What do you see when you look at the film?
I just feel like everybody can be a little bit more intentional in their work, take a little bit more pride in the detail and the focus that goes into it, the preparation that goes into it throughout the week. So when come game time on Sunday, it's execution. Because we've seen it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I feel like that's where we can grow and get better. First and foremost, it starts on Wednesday.
Yeah. When you watch the film back, are there times where it looks like the effort could be better too?
I feel like everybody out there playing hard. I ain't about to sit here and say nobody is piss poor effort or anything like that. It's NFL caliber guys on the other side of the ball as well. So going to win some, you're going to lose some. But just come down to having pride in your work. That's what I feel.
Yeah, you've been a part of some teams that have been very good. You've been a part of some teams that have had some down years. What are the hallmarks of the good teams versus the struggling teams in practice so that you see that Monday, Thursday, or that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday detail?
It's different as far as different teams I've been on, because they all have been different in their own sense. I'm not here to compare teams at all, but being where my feet are now, I'm not going to continue to be redundant, but we just got to do a better job of being more intentional about our work and just honing in on details. And it's little stuff that's all fixable. That's all things we can do better. But, I'm not going to sit here and keep saying the same thing over and over again.
DeAndre, when you were a rookie with the Lions and Matt Patricia was fired, could you see that coming as that season went south? Did you see what was going to happen?
When you're not having success and you're not having a season that you want to have and you're losing, stuff might happen. But that's outside of the player's control. Like I said, I don't really try to get too involved in that because that's not my job.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good thought from Potash on the question, but that first part is stuff from DeAndre Swift calling out the players and calling out the practices. If you're Ryan Poles, how many veterans do you need to hear tell you that this team practices like ass every week? Like to know
Seriously.
That the coach is terrible. It's like it's unbelievable.
Yes, yes, Matt. And look, DJ Moore in our scrum around his locker yesterday. It was more of the same. It was, you know, what are you going to do now? Now what has to happen? And he said, practices have to be better. Every little thing has to be criticized. Like, go check it out. The audio is in there. It's DJ Moore saying, we got to, and I think somebody even said, like, haven't you guys done that already? And his answer was, we got to do it even more. So there is accountability that they keep talking about, and this team is together. Apparently, they're having really bad practices, this team. Like, I mean, we heard Cole Kmet reference it at one point in time.
They should watch the games. They think the practices are bad. They should watch the games.
Maybe these practices are fun. Maybe they all just start juggling when the media leaves, and they're all having fun and high-fiving. And
that's why they won't let you film it, Groats.
I guess so. I mean, maybe these practices are something to behold, and the joke is on us because I don't know what – something's going on in these practices that has not been cracked as of yet. Let me give you guys one more from DeAndre Swift. And all of that said from Swifty – He is one of the few guys who, with authority, is not blaming the coaching.
We heard about, you know, the leaders talking to Matt and talking to Shane about, you know, ways to make things go better. You know, later we hear about the leaders talking to Shane about, you know, scripting plays before games. Is that sort of back and forth common in other places you've been? And is it a sign of a disconnect that those conversations need to be had?
Talking about as far as like communication between players and Shane,
yeah,
I feel like that's a good thing. Shane has been great in that aspect. I mean, I'm always one to never put anything on coaches or anything like that. They're not out there with no helmet or shoulder pads on. So I feel as though like if whatever they call us as players and the ones who has a job with these helmets or shoulder pads on needs to go out there and execute. So I'm not ever one to put nothing on no coach or anything like that. That's not what I'm here to do.
I understand his point of view, and I respect it. That being said, if coaches are giving you the wrong stuff or allowing bad practice habits, that is on them to a certain degree. But I get where he's coming from on that.
Yeah, and his game has sort of ebbed and flowed, too, with the, you know, in those three, you know, the three game with the Rams, Jacksonville, Carolina, like he started to look better. There was some life. It was like, okay, he's not a bust of a signing. It's like, okay, we don't have to start Roschon Johnson. Remember those conversations? So he is a part that you can look at it and circle. And I realize that there's a few other guys you're going to circle first on that offense, but you could circle and say, okay, as the Bears have gone, he has gone, and the volatility has been real.
So yesterday, as we're watching the game, the dude who was balling and making plays and busting his ass, especially early, was T.J. Edwards. He was all over the field. It was like, all right, that guy hasn't quit. That guy is still rolling. You guys talk to him today?
There has been a question, Speaks, that reporters have been asking at Halas Hall for years, maybe even predating all of us doing the job out at Halas Hall, and that is the offense affecting the psyche of the defense? And that was the spirit of the question I have for TJ Edwards. I didn't use those exact words, but I'm just letting you in on my process a little bit. With the offense, let TJ Edwards came up with a pretty sick interception. Like, that was a nice grab, man. That was a degree of difficulty relatively high, catches it about midfield, and the Bears don't score a touchdown out of that. So here's TJ Edwards.
He made a play.
Yeah.
He had an interception. The offense gets the ball around midfield. Is it dejecting when they don't score six out of that? Like, for the defense as a whole, is it honestly disappointing?
I mean, it's football, right? You know, the other team has good players too. And I'm not going to really – I'm going to focus on what I can do better and what we can do better as a defense. And I know the offense is doing the same thing. We understand as a whole that, honestly, just to kind of – whatever, it wasn't good enough, you know, from start to finish, and that's something we're all accountable for. But, you know, complimentary football is a big time thing, and, you know, we have to do our jobs as a defense to try to, you know, create turnovers and do those things, because we pride ourselves on that, right? And getting three and outs and those things, and you know, giving it to the offense, and we know the offense will get into their rhythm. So we're confident in that, and we're not going to you know, double back on anything that we've done. We put in a lot of hard work, and we know it's going to crack for sure.
Yeah, you know, some players aren't going to say some stuff in certain ways like that, but we have heard the inverse earlier this year when the offense was looking promising. Remember how happy Jalen was and how we talked about
how it makes their job easier.
And what a breath of fresh air it is, how, like, it makes you feel better, makes the whole thing feel better. So, yeah, it's obvious, Groats, that when it's that bad and you know you're down 13-3 and you're feeling like the ball game is almost over at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, there's probably been even better examples of games where the defense ruled the day and put the offense into so many positions in the Bears. I'm not talking about just this year, but historically, for sure, where it had to have been dejecting. One more thing that TJ Edwards was asked is, and this is my last cut, what do the players need from the head coach or from the coaches, period?
TJ, what does this team need from the coaching staff to get pushed in the right direction?
I don't know. I mean, I think for me, this is a players' league. This is, you know, we got to go out there and execute. This game, it's rare that a coach is going to go out there and call a perfect game, right? He's going to go out there and it's like, that's just how it goes. We got to go out and execute and make the plays that are out there. You know, it's so easy to point fingers and make excuses and do all that, but no one's playing perfect right now. So it's how can each individual turn that around? Each coach looking to themselves, the players looking to themselves, and figure out how we can make this thing right. I'm not going to sit up here and say what I need from someone else when I know I haven't been perfect, and I gotta do my job.
Groats, how much faith that there is anything coaching wise or in the locker room that will allow the Bears to do that?
Well, I don't think that there's a whole lot of faith right now, and that's why I think that I don't know that they've been told anything yet, Lawrence. But again, the mood was to me yesterday in that locker room. It was, yeah. Now, like, there was almost this weird, to me anyway, and I don't know if my colleagues would agree with this or not. There, considering how nasty that loss was, it was a calm locker room. And I think the word I would use is resigned to resigned to their fate.
Well, you were the one who was upset telling me that I did have the fire.
So that was the wrong thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Who you
crapping?
Exactly.
But there was that feeling. Look, they know how bad it was, and they know how embarrassing it was. And even if they wouldn't play along with my "were you guys stunned" line of questioning that I took throughout the entire locker room, it was stunning for them. They were numb in that locker room. They know something has to change, because guess what they know about themselves? They know that they're pretty damn talented. All of us, I think, talking on the radio right now, I think we know that there's a lot of talent on that team on defense and a ton of it on offense. So this is not like a couple of years ago where you're like, ugh, We're going to lose 9 in a row, 10 in a row. It's not really going to matter. Let's just get the hell out of here. This is why you've heard so many players speak out. Ultimately, to oversimplify it, they know they're good, and they've been really bad.
Nuggets and tidbits.
Yeah, I don't know. Did it come across? The Caleb thing is interesting because just before we entered into the interview room today, there was Adam Schefter was on the television out at Hallis Hall, and he was surmising about the possibility. Could there potentially be a change at quarterback, as in sit Caleb Williams, whether because he has struggled or because you don't want to get this guy hurt or you don't want to retard his progress any further? But the one thing that Matt Eberflus answered directly, and I think it was actually in the cut that I sent, was that, yes, Caleb Williams remains the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears throughout all of this. Unfortunately, and I realize that this is not at the top of the list at the moment, no injury updates. I mean, good God, like the Packers are coming this Sunday, and as of right now, they are without three of their starting offensive linemen are injured right now, and we all know what we saw this past Sunday. And I do want to give another shout out to Four Winds Casino out here in New Buffalo, Michigan. I'm going to be going downstairs into the casino area and into the Kankakee Lounge, where I will meet Dave Wanstead 6:30 Eastern time here in Michigan. And he and I will do a little Q&A and talk about the Bears and this little tornado, this Hurricane Ditka that we are having to deal with the Chicago Bears.
That's outstanding, Groats. One last thing. Any talk about Nate Davis up there on or off the air? Because him showing up and saying, "Oh, my back, it hurts," and then them sending him home. That's quite an event yesterday.
Yeah, nothing else behind the scenes. That's the story. You know, he was asked, like, why is he sent home? Well, it's because of his back. And so they didn't want him standing. And I would have to like think back now to my time on the sideline. There had to have been players with back injuries that were at least on the sideline for a quarter or two. So I mean, the logic does make sense. If he's got a back injury, you don't want him standing, but it's ridiculous. I couldn't believe he popped up on the injury report. So look, you know, there's nothing, no new intel that I can give you on Nate Davis other than he probably has a part in this as well. And they sent him home.
I'm sure it'll be near a ping pong table near you. Groats, have a wonderful time out there at Four Winds. Great place. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, buddy.
Bears. We have to take a break, and we need to talk about all sorts of stuff, like the quarterback. Let's get into the quarterback and what it is that he's doing, and if that tells any of the story of what's gone wrong with the Bears.
Jalen Johnson at the top of the hour after yet another dispiriting Bears loss.
Spiegel and Holmes, we are at Circa. Back after this on The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.